This is White Sox Weekly. Your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago. Now here's your host, Connor McKnight.
Good afternoon and welcome into White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Connor McKnight, and you can celebrate 125 years of White Sox baseball and lock in a 2025 ticket plan today. Be at the ballpark for the biggest matchups, exciting new promotions, and opening day Thursday, March 27th. Plus, get access to the best seats at the best value, flexible payment plans, savings on single games, and more. To secure your ticket plan, visit whitesox.com/2025. Well, the big news happened on Thursday afternoon. The White Sox named Will Venable, former associate manager for the Texas Rangers, the new and 44th manager of the Chicago White Sox. Will take over for interim manager Grady Sizemore, who in turn replaced Pedro Grifol when he was relieved of his duties halfway through last season. Venable inherits, of course, a team that went 41-121 last season. White Sox general manager Chris Getz and Will Venable, the new White Sox manager, spoke to White Sox beat reporters on Thursday afternoon in a press conference. There's going to be some more availability for Venable, and I would imagine some more announcements of some kind on the coaching staff that Venable is going to bring to the White Sox Major League organization in 2025 come next week. More on that a little bit later on here in the show. You're going to hear from White Sox general manager Chris Getz. You're going to hear from the new guy, the new skipper, Will Venable, in a little bit here on White Sox Weekly. I think first and foremost, one thing to point out here, and it's fairly crucial, it's a dual-edged sword, it's a double-sided coin. Two things can be true at once in Major League Baseball, as it can be in life, and I think it's worth pointing out here. One, and it's important, Will Venable was sought after by a number of different organizations over the last few years to be their manager. He turned 42 earlier this week. He is young, has recent playing experience with the San Diego Padres and Los Angeles Dodgers. He has been a part of front office work. He has been a part of coaching staff for a number of different teams. He's been to the playoffs in 5 years of seven in his coaching career. He's won a World Series championship. He is on the shortlist, or I suppose was on the shortlist, for just about any open managerial spot over the last two, three, maybe even four seasons, depending on how you want to slice up reports and detail them along the way. And what that means to me, and what I think that means to a lot of White Sox fans at this point, and to a lot of national MLB writers at this point, is that Venable, a guy who teams were seen to want, decided he wanted to go to the White Sox. Now, this is an organization, obviously, that has got to be on its way up from setting the record for most losses in a major league season, 121 last year. This is a roster that's going through quite a bit of churn here over the next couple of months and may still have a lot more churn to go. In fact, some news just as the end of the week hit, the White Sox declined the $25 million option on Yoan Moncada, instead opting for a $5 million buyout for 2025. And they also declined the option on catcher Max Stassi. Stassi played in spring training, got hurt late, really a recurring injury that it prohibited from playing at all in 2024. Really, they declined his option as well, $500,000, the buyout number to Max Stassi. We'll talk a little bit more about those two moves and what they mean, and kind of that we saw them coming later on in the show. But suffice it to say, more new faces are due for the White Sox in uniform in 2025. Yoan Moncada, a longtime member of this organization, will be moving on. And Will Venable is going to be the guy to shepherd in some of those new players. Chris Getz spoke at length about Venable and about the reasons for making him their guy. But I think it's worth noting, and we'll hear some of it in a bit, but I think it's worth noting the White Sox, regardless of where they stand here over the last few years in terms of wins and losses, franchise building, farm system rankings, you know, wherever you'd like to put them. And let's be honest, some some issues along the way. You know, this is an organization that has been going through some change for a little while now, having let go Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, two longtime captains of the baseball operations department, and handing things over to Chris Getz and Brian Bannister and Josh Barfield and so on and so forth. A new international scouting department. There's a lot of new for the White Sox. And to hear Chris Getz talk about it, it's about building from the bottom up and creating a solid foundation from which to work. And Venable definitely fits into that. The thing of it is, this managerial hire was always going to be of two worlds, right? One, how good can this guy, whomever he was going to be, it's now Will Venable, how good can this guy be at getting the most out of the players that he's going to be handed, both in spring training, that wide roster, and the 26 he's going to get on opening day? And how important can he be in terms of the organization building? How much of a course can he chart here for the organization going forward in partnering with Chris Getz? And I think that's a big word here too. Venable mentioned it. Getz has mentioned it in interviews prior. He had been looking for a partner in this journey, in this cruise to rebuild the White Sox organization, and he has chosen Will Venable to be that guy on the major league side of things. Now, the other side of the coin is this. It is absolutely true that other organizations wanted Will Venable, were interested in Will Venable being the manager. It's absolutely true that, you know, Texas may or may not have been kind of clearing a path for Will Venable to be their future manager if and when Bruce Bochy retires here in the coming years. It is also true that we don't know what's going to happen here. You know, that every hire, especially when it comes to the coaching staff of things, looks good, can look good on paper, but in practice, it's a whole nother thing. So it's very much, and I think there are plenty of, and understandably in some cases, White Sox fans that have a bit of cynicism as it regards the 2025 season and what's to come for the White Sox here on the field. I think Venable should go a long way to saying, at the very least, to that cynicism, this is a guy that the White Sox got where other organizations around baseball would have also been really happy to get him. That puts them on par with, at even footing with, a lot of teams that didn't lose 121 games last season. And in my mind, at the very least, that is a good thing. Chris Getz spoke to White Sox beat reporters alongside Will Venable at a presser on Thursday, and I wanted to bring you some of the comments that Getz made. This is his opening statement on the hiring of Will Venable, the why, the process of it all. We'll talk about that coming up here in the second segment. But two little cuts here from Chris Getz that I think are that really stood out to me as to why Will Venable was the guy the White Sox ended up deciding on, and what you can expect, I think, too, from Venable as it regards the players, as regards you the fan, when we get to spring training in Glendale in just a couple of months here. Here's Getz and his opening statement on the hiring of Will Venable as the new White Sox manager.
It was an extensive process, interview process, that we began getting organized in August. And, you know, we certainly used our resources outside of the organization, leaned on, you know, our internal people as well. And, you know, at one point we had 60 plus candidates. Obviously we worked that down to eventually 20. We certainly did our homework, used the network that many of us have outside of the organization and dove in deeper. And once we got to about 20 candidates, we began a more personalized interview process. We were very intentional. You know, we built out the criteria, desired outcomes of what we were looking for. We built out a value system that we felt a manager for the Chicago White Sox would embody. And, you know, through that 20-person interview process, we dwindled it down to 5. I will say that that particular point in our interview process was the most difficult. And then once we got down to our finalists, we had a final group of 5 that we brought in person here in Chicago, met with our baseball ops group. We had panels We created different scenarios. We, you know, I spent more time with each individual. And then it became very clear through that process that Will Venable was the right fit for us. I look forward to diving into this with him. I view him as a tremendous partner. He's someone that, you know, you've heard, you know, his resume, his bio. But what really stands out for him is the person. You know, he's someone that grew up in the game, obviously played it himself, you know, a two-sport athlete, someone that, you know, when his days were finished as a player, he jumped right into the front office, worked his way up the coaching ranks, worked under some tremendous, potentially future Hall of Famers and Alex Cora and Bruce Bochy. And now to bring such a talented person, someone that's so well coveted around the league to lead our organization is nothing short of outstanding and exciting for me and others in the organization.
Now, the other part of this long cut there, and we'll get to breaking it down a little bit on the other side of a break, but I wanted to get to one more cut before we do hit that first break of the show. Getz also addressed Will's, you know, kind of overall best skill set, I guess. The kind of the, you know, if that was the opening statement, I guess what we just heard, this is the kind of the thesis statement of the paper. If that was the introduction, this is the nuts and bolts of what he expects Will Venable to be able to do best as they begin this phase of rebuilding the White Sox.
From my perspective, as we were evaluating candidates, you know, the communication ability of Will definitely stood out. And the reason why I feel like it's so effective is because it's coming from a place of some authenticity, honesty. There's never anything, he never delivers anything in a rush. I mean, it's just with depth, it's very thoughtful. And although he may be the smartest guy in the room, he doesn't need to kind of show off and let everyone know that he is the smartest guy in the room. And I think that's what makes him so welcoming. And regardless of cultural background or any background whatsoever, I think, you know, people respond well to that. In regards to, you know, the value system and things we were looking for, you know, in our manager position, although, you know, there are a lot of, when you think about hiring a manager, or hiring anyone, there are emotions that could get involved. Their biases that can start infiltrating decision making. And so we tried to build out a process that was very objective. And, you know, and through that objectivity, you know, we felt like we landed on some really strong candidates towards the final round. Obviously, there's going to be nuance to it because there's nuance to the position. There's an art of coaching. There's an art in communication. But we did feel like it zeroed in on candidates that we feel like we're going to be effective as a leader, as a manager for the Chicago White Sox. So, you know, there's some things we valued greater than others. We certainly understand where we are as an organization. Will does as well. There are going to be different phases along the way, but we feel like Will can be part of not only the near future here in 25, but beyond as our roster begins to take shape. And also as we start accomplishing greater things at the major league level.
And you can hear there, too, something that's pretty important, I think, as it regards Venable. A lot of teams, and the White Sox are not immune to this. A lot of teams, when they are at this point of their rebuilding process, hire a manager, and that manager is mostly focused on or allowed to begin the rebuild, right? And it's often the case that a second manager, a next guy, you know, whether that's you look at Buck Showalter and in his major league career, he's the organization builder. But it's somebody else that takes that team to the wins in the playoffs that you want to see. Whether it was the White Sox moving on from Ricky Renteria, who in 2020, the pandemic shortened season, had that team in the playoffs. The White Sox wanted to make a move in manager for a lot of different reasons, some very understandable. And went with Tony La Russa and tried to, you know, put the icing on the cake, so to speak, and get that next manager to get across the finish line. I think, at the very least, this front office is speaking openly about their expectations that Venable, who's agreed to a multi-year contract, I haven't seen the numbers on it yet, or at least hadn't been confirmed by the team yet, that this is a guy who can be not just the point A to point B type of guy, but they believe can also be the point B to the championship point kind of guy. The Bulls franchise goes back and back to this, right? You've got Doug Collins all the way to Phil, and that means titles for the Chicago Bulls. And I think that's pretty much the same idea in baseball here that we're kind of getting at, and something that the White Sox, in a way, nipped in the bud here, introducing Will Venable and talking, as Getz did just then, about their expectations for him in the future and years to come. When we come back, a whole lot more on the White Sox decision to make Will Venable the next manager of the ball club, the 44th in franchise history. We'll get to that when we come back on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Back to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Connor McKnight. Celebrate your special occasion in 2025 at the White Sox Party Area. Reserve your group outing today to get access to top matchups and the best spaces. For more information and to secure your group outing, visit whitesox.com/groups. Been talking about the hiring of Will Venable, the new manager for the Chicago White Sox, and you're going to hear from Will in just a couple of moments on the show. In the introductory press conference on Thursday, Len kind of served as the MC, the master of ceremonies for the whole thing, kicked it off and introduced both Chris Getz and Will Venable. I know that Len did an awesome job kind of, summing up the career that Venable has had up to this point, mostly as a coach, but also, you know, kind of his background, his folks, his family. He's got a brother, Winston, who played for the Chicago Bears. Here's Len Casper with the bio on Will Venable, in case you're getting caught up yourself.
His dad, Max, played in the big leagues for 12 seasons. His mom, Molly, played college hoops. His brother, Winston, was a Chicago Bear back in 2011. Will attended Princeton University, at first, as a basketball player, and then added baseball to the mix. And he admits growing up that basketball was his first love, but that changed a little bit in college as he started to garner a lot of big league interest. He majored in anthropology in college and followed in the footsteps of a future big league teammate and most recently one of his bosses in Texas, Chris Young. First team All-Ivy member in both basketball and baseball. He would be a seventh-round pick of the Padres in 2005, got to the majors in 2008, and he tripled in his first career at-bat off Aaron Cook of the Rockies. After 9 years as a player, he joined the Cubs front office before becoming a first-base coach, then the third-base coach. He would end up in Boston as a bench coach for Alex Cora, and then on to Texas as the associate manager, where he would be part of a World Series winning staff in 2023.
Shout out to Len. He's the best. Also, shout out to David Kaplan and Adam Abdallah. Abdallah was in for Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood show, our morning show on ESPN 1000, and they had Will Venable on the show on Friday morning. Again, download the ESPN Chicago app. Go back through, listen to that interview. It was spectacular. For the first time on our show here on White Sox Weekly, we're going to hear from Will Venable. A couple of things, you know, because Will was a hot ticket for a couple of years here on the managerial circuit, didn't get any of the jobs that he did interview for, and declined to interview in a place or two going into last offseason, through last winter, just was comfortable with the Texas thing. And we're going to get to that in a second here, but I think one of the most poignant aspects of that was something that he brought up on his own. This was kind of part of Venable's opening statements in the press conference on Thursday and not a response to a question. But in some of the, you know, he thanked his family, his friends, the coaches and fellow players that got him to where he was at. It was kind of, you know, it's maybe I'm a sucker for it, but a guy reaches the pinnacle, you know, that spot he's been trying to get to for a good long while here, even if it's not as long for Venable as it has been for other major league managers, you know, to a guy like Brian Snicker, for example, you know, to wait and wait and wait and be that minor league guy and finally get there. I don't know. It gets me. I got a soft spot for it. But Venable pointed out, again, of his own accord, that while he was interviewing and thought of as potential manager for some years here, it was really the last 2 years, the World Series run in 23 with the Rangers, and last season, the responsibilities that he was given and able to seize with the Rangers as an associate manager to Bruce Bochy, that really got him ready for managing in the bigs. Here's Venable.
And just going back to Texas just for a second, I do want to single them out. You know, I think about my 2 years there, and the acceleration of my development is really just attributed to Bruce Bochy, Chris Young, and Ray Davis, and the things that they did. And it's with that development that I feel extremely confident that I'm prepared for this opportunity. But I also know that without them, I don't think that I would be ready for this. So, it was really a hard decision to leave, to be honest. You know, when you're in a place like that with those kind of people, it's really challenging. And it was only because I felt so confident about this opportunity and the people in this organization that I was, confident about making that move.
Now, again, in kind of a follow up here, he was asked a question about why other places, other interviews, other opportunities weren't as appealing as the White Sox are this year, or I suppose were this year to him in the managerial cycle, in the carousel, as it were. This question got asked by John Greenberg of The Athletic, and I thought, you know, Venable pointing this out was kind of an interesting thing to think about when it comes to one job in 30, right? Here's Venable.
You know, I don't think anything changed. I think every year, you know, my wife and I, we have kind of a set of criteria that we go into the year. I've been super lucky to have these opportunities, and you don't assume anything, but in case that people call, you want to be prepared to go about those decisions thoughtfully. And, at the time, it just was one of those things last year where some of the opportunities that I had just didn't really fit the criteria for me and my family. And it had, you know, no knock on the opportunities, and it wasn't anything going on with Texas. It was just kind of my personal criteria that I had. And, this year it was different.
I think it's worth noting, at least for me, I'm definitely guilty of having come up in the Moneyball era, right? The book comes out how am I going to connect this thing? Give me a second. I will. I promise. Book came out. I got to it about a year later. And then, you know, all through the early to mid 2000s and well beyond, I identify with baseball as very much, you know, a numbers thing, right? I think you could definitely, especially in my early years of being a fan, accuse me of being a guy who was just looking at, stats on spreadsheets and trying to put together teams that way, whether it be on outside the park or whatever. Players, managers, coaches, front office members, broadcasters, believe it or not, we're humans. And I think it's important to remember that those human aspects, those things that matter to us, you know, moving a family or taking an opportunity that, you know, might feel a little bit shaky, even if it is the one you want, or, you know, the job, the opportunity that you've been waiting for, those things matter. And I think, you know, especially when you pair that answer from Venable with what Chris Getz was talking about at the end of the first segment of the show, his ability to communicate, his ability of Venable's, you know, to be honest and communicate in a way that players can understand, that makes things very simple, very human, very, you know, kind of a message that kind of cut across different types of people, because we are all at our core human in one way or another. That matters. And when we're talking about the manager, right, whether it's Venable or a manager in any other spots, I think we're learning a lot more about what this job is and what it isn't, how we can quantify and how we can't quantify the things that a manager can do. And it's absolutely true that in terms of a wins and losses number, from a tactical decision standpoint that a manager has available to him throughout 162 games, I don't know how much a manager can really tip the scales in terms of wins and losses. Bullpen management is huge. And yeah, there are absolutely, especially with that stupid zombie runner on second in the 10th, you know, some instances where playing for one run, whatever that means to you, however your team needs to get to one run, matter a little bit more than they used to. I don't know that there's a whole bunch of wins that can get attributed to managerial decisions. It's more about the big picture of the thing, about the coaching of the thing, about the putting your players in the best places to succeed over the long haul that matters the most. And I think that's where Getz and the rest of the White Sox organization have pretty clearly decided they've got faith in Venable. Now, as to what he's been able to learn over his career, his coaching career, Venable talked about that pretty specifically. Lamon Pope of the Chicago Tribune asked Venable to sum up some of the things he's learned at each stop along the way, you know, whether that be the Cubs or the Dodgers or the Rangers. He's certainly been in different organizational roles and kind of detailed each, big bullet point and takeaway from all of his coaching stops in after his playing career.
In Chicago, really interesting group of young, talented players and Joe Maddon, who was creative and innovative and an unbelievable leader. And the thing that really sticks out for me there is just his ability to stay positive. It didn't matter what the score of the game was, what time of the day, he just had the same presence about him. And that's something I always admired from him and something that really stands out. In Boston, Alex was an amazing leader. He did it, in a different way than Joe. And certainly, his ability to build relationships with players was amazing. How he went about it, he was very intentional with everything that he did and was very player driven. And just came from it with an amazing understanding of what players need and where they're at. And I think that's a huge thing and something that'll be important to me as a manager is just understanding where the guys are at individually. And then in Texas, Boats is amazing. The player group was amazing. And really the one thing, and I was the direct benefactor of it, is just how inclusive Boach is and how thoughtful he is with his staff. And, you're on his coaching staff and you show up every day and that you're going to be included in conversations. You know that your opinion matters, that you can have an impact on the group. And whether it's the lineup or game planning, you have a say in it and are valued. And that's something that has stood out to me. And again, something that, I experienced firsthand, but I also want to adopt to my program as well.
Some interesting stuff from Venable there, I think. And yet, you talk about some of the names that he mentioned there. It is certainly a who's who of the last 10 years of baseball, really. Whether that's Theo and Jed on the north side. Theo absolutely headed into the Hall of Fame in one way or another, having helmed the Boston Red Sox and breaking the curse of the Bambino. And then obviously, taking the Cubs, leading the Cubs to the 2016 World Series. Theo Epstein is well regarded as one of the smartest minds in baseball over the last, call it 50 years if you want to, probably even more than that. I get what it means to say that, but it's definitely true. Whether that's Joe Maddon or Bruce Bochy or Buddy Black, there are absolutely dudes that Venable has been able to learn at the feet of along his stops. And I think that's key too, mostly because it means that he's, or at least you can hope that he's a well-rounded guy, not a manager that's going to see things one way and that's it. Not a manager that will only converse in kind of one direction or be able to delineate information in one way. We'll get to some of this on the other side of a break, but pairing the analytics and the scouting, if you want to do this way, the eye test and the numbers, it's a lot more complicated than that. And I think, given Venable's resume, I think he's got or has had the education on how to marry those two things together and get the best out of a group of 26. That's going to be an interesting thing to watch, especially come spring training. when the White Sox get things started in Glendale in late February. And I for one, am really excited to see it. More, a lot more, on Will Venable, the new manager of the Chicago White Sox, when we come back on White Sox Weekly.
We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. White Sox fans, customize your 2025 season with the new 10-ticket all-access pack. Get access to opening day and the Crosstown Series against the Cubs starting at only $224. Pick the number of games and seats that work for your schedule. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/flexpack. Then talking about the hire of Will Venable as the new manager of the Chicago White Sox. Venable signed a multi-year deal earlier this week at a press conference alongside general manager Chris Getz on Thursday, playing you some of the latest from the brand new White Sox manager. A couple of things here, too, and this is worth noting as we get into a conversation about Grady Sizemore from White Sox general manager Chris Getz here in this segment, too. They did not set a timetable for coaches, for you know, hitting coach, pitching coach, all this other kind of stuff. You know, the coaching staff that Venable is going to bring in. Mostly, that's what happens when new managers get announced lately. It is rare where you get a new front office in and they clear everybody out and start all over. It does happen. But Chris Getz did say in this press conference on Thursday that there will be some familiar faces to the White Sox coaching staff. I think educated guesses would tell you that Ethan Katz, the White Sox pitching coach, probably going to be coming back. He and Brian Bannister, the director of White Sox pitching, have a good working relationship, and the strength of the White Sox organizationally is its pitching. I think Ethan Katz is well thought of by the organization, and having been around for Tony La Russa and also Pedro Grifol, and the pitching organization kind of restructuring itself here over the last year and a half with Ethan Katz as a pretty big focal point in it, I would expect Katz is going to stick around. Whether that can be said of Marcus Thames, the White Sox hitting coach, I don't know. The White Sox obviously ended last season having a number of different minor league coaches elevated to the major league staff after the changes were made that put Grady Sizemore in the interim seat. Whether Justin Jerschle or Mike Gellinger or others are back in their roles is, I would guess, unlikely. Whether they're back with the White Sox is kind of a 50-50 flip. You know, I think a guy like, just for instance, Justin Jerschle, well thought of by a number of different organizations as a potential future minor league major league manager, it could be that, you know, this is the opportunity for him to move on to another organization and to take that next step. It might also be that AAA is right where he wants to be as a manager. That's where he was from, where he was elevated to the big league staff at the end of last season. You know, who's to say exactly what's going to happen here going forward, but those discussions are ongoing. I think worth playing here now, since we're talking about it, is the comments that Chris Getz made about Grady Sizemore. He was asked directly about Grady's role on the White Sox coaching staff in 2025. Grady took over as the interim manager for Pedro Grifol. The wins and loss record obviously wasn't good for anybody connected to the White Sox in 2024, but Sizemore was well regarded by the players that the White Sox had last year, and that's not taken lightly. Grady really said that he took to the managerial spot, really enjoyed coaching, didn't see that managing, I should say, as part of his future in baseball, and yet having gotten that experience, and I credit him for this, kind of changed his mind on a little bit, liked it a lot more than he thought he would. So Getz was asked about the future for Grady Sizemore. Here's what he had to say.
I want to start with this. I'm grateful for Grady to step up the way he did, what we asked him to do in a very trying time. And, you know, I felt like he did exactly what we asked him to do in August and September, and proud of the relationship that he and I and others have grown, with Grady. Early on when Will and I were, were talking, and he asked about Grady. He said, if I were to get this position, you know, what happens to Grady? And I said, listen, you know, that's up to you. You know, I will say that he's, you know, admired. Will had known that about Grady. He respected him, obviously, as a player. He's heard really, really good things and watched from afar. So, you know, we've continued to have conversations on how Grady can fit and certainly take advantage of the skill sets and the traits that Grady has and see if he can be part of, you know, improving this culture and getting us, you know, where we need to go. But I know that Will certainly holds Grady in high regard.
So with that in hand, I would expect Sizemore to be on the coaching staff in one way or another, you know, whether that's actually an in-uniform coach or perhaps a member of the White Sox front office with some coaching responsibilities. I don't know. It's also entirely possible that Sizemore, with the helium that his coaching career got as being elevated to the manager and everybody around baseball, kind of hearing from White Sox players about how much they liked playing for Grady, it could be another organization's a destination asking for him at some point this winter as well. Back to the manager at hand, Will Venable. I think one thing that gets asked every single time a new coaching hire is made, whether it's a manager, a hitting coach, a pitching coach, shoot, even front office hires at this point, is, you know, kind of what's your relationship with analytics? What's your relationship with the data that really rules baseball these days? There are still pockets in baseball that rely only on the data. Some organizations that scout just by analytics. And there are some other organizations on the other end of the spectrum that have eschewed analytics and not really used it in the way that a lot of successful franchises have. I think more and more throughout baseball, you are seeing teams as they, you know, go through their rebuild processes. I mean, listen, if you want to look at Major League Baseball as a one entity, right? The individual franchises, as they, you know, kind of go through their ebbs and flows in the contention window, they have to revamp themselves and they have to find the edges that they need in order to win. The White Sox are one of those teams doing that. And in so doing, franchises have to find their own new relationship with analytics and scouting, just to kind of put a shorthand on things. And it's pretty clear that with the White Sox right now, there is an emphasis placed on former players who also have, if not a strong command in dialoguing with the analytics and with players, then a mastery of it, right? Whether that's Brian Bannister, whether that's Getz to his own degree, whether that's a guy like Grady Sizemore, who himself has a different relationship with it, or whether that's Will Venable, the new manager of the White Sox. So Will was asked that question, you know, kind of what's your view on the information around baseball? How do you relate it to players? What's important to you in that regard?
I've seen a lot of different styles. For me, I think most decisions should be founded in objectivity. You know, I think we have this amazing information and we have to use that as kind of like the baseline for the decision. But we know that's not the whole story, right? We know that there are situations that change the way we look at this data. We know that there's players and their confidence levels or their how they're feeling with their mechanics or how they feel about anything, you know, is important to the decision also. So definitely objective on its floor, but understanding that there's important layers to this that will also be considered.
And I think, you know, Will is kind of saying what we're hearing more and more. Yeah, it's a little bit of a rote response that it's a, you know, situation specific kind of thing that individual players need different things. That's all right. It's not fluff. It makes sense. You do need to relate to different players differently. However, I think what's going to be really interesting to hear from Will, and I talked to him about this in a different presser, he's been responsible for putting together spring training programs when he was with the Red Sox. I believe he said he did it for 2 years, put together the spring training. And I think, you know, whoever his bench coach will be is going to have a big responsibility in putting together that spring training. But this will be Venable's first as manager. And I would think that he's going to put together as much of the spring training program as anybody else, because it is his first. And how those conversations go then, how that kind of pregame prep, that kind of, you know, not that the spring training games are going to be a thing where you throw the same kind of, you know, data and preparation into it as you're going to in a regular season. You do have to practice those things, right? You don't just show up at your major league locker the first day of the regular season and get handed a stack of documents that say, look for this guy's slider low and away into two counts to right-handers. You have a whole spring training where that kind of stuff is, you know, you get walked through what it is that you're looking at, how you can ask for more, all those kinds of things. And I think, you know, to that point, Will's recent playing experience informs a lot of why he was valued by other franchises and why he's so good at connecting with current players. Here's Venable.
I think just number one is empathy and understanding how challenging the game is. And, you know, there's going to be times where things are really good in this game for individual guys. And most of the time they're going to feel like they're bad. And I know I certainly spent a lot of time feeling like I was never going to come out of it, that the game was kind of consuming me a little bit. And so I think, you know, that perspective and how you lead and how you communicate with people is important. And that's something certainly that I lead with. And then just understanding the demands of a 162 game season and how we go about our training and how we you know, set up our schedule and how we just take care of the guys and understand that it's a grind. I think the combination of those two things is you know, part of the reason why, you know, playing experience is valuable.
And again, this is, you know, another part of this franchise right now as it rebuilds itself. They are leaning, Getz is leaning on a lot of players who have been in the bigs, whether it's Paul Janisch, the director of player development, Bannister, Josh Barfield, Will Venable. These are guys that have played the game at the highest level. And while you don't have to be one of the best in baseball on either the front office side or the coaching side, we are seeing a bit of a shift in Major League Baseball. It's cyclical. It always is. You know, we had the MBAs and the JDs and everybody else running baseball for a long time, and it worked really well for many different franchises. We are seeing that shift, and maybe the White Sox are at the center of it, back to something that's a little bit different while still not forgetting what kind of information, what kind of smarts that era of baseball brought to the game. Now, just to close out the Venable part of the show here, more to come in the final segment about some news with some news about the White Sox. But Venable was asked, what is success in 2025 to him? And while he's got a spring training plan that he's got to put together and a whole lot more of work to do in learning this roster, the players attached to it, the minor league system, all that stuff, he's got an idea, at least a little bit, of what success looks like in 2025. And keep in mind, you know, this is a team that lost 121 games last year and will likely lose more than they win in 2025. But it's about setting that foundation going forward, and Venable is pretty understanding of that part of the game.
Going in, you have a plan, and certainly that is to create an environment where guys can be at their best, and it's going to come with challenges, and there's going to be situations that challenge that and are going to force us to rethink things and be adjustable and flexible to things. And I think if you look up at the end of the year and you say that you've handled that adversity well, that's definitely a sign of a successful year. We also know that we're building something. You know, we know that there's not just the way that we go about our business and our culture, but also, you know, our systems and our processes. If we continue to build that for the future, I think that that's also a sign of a successful year.
So again, that's Will Venable. Lots more on next week's show from Will. Hope to get a one-on-one conversation. If you're looking for more Will Venable content, there's a whole lot out there for you. Like I said earlier in the show, download the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Adam Abdallah, filling in for Jay Hood on the Cap and Jay Hood show, had Venable on Friday morning's show. Highly recommend you go back and listen to that. We'll talk about what's next for the White Sox when we come back on ESPN 1000. Closing it up here on White Sox Weekly, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to Jack McGrath, our producer. Sox fans, sign up to become a White Sox insider for updates on the 125-year anniversary celebration next season. Get all the latest updates on games, promos, breaking team news, like the hiring of Will Venable, and other exciting Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. Up against it, so we'll just wrap up the show this way. One, I think the hire of Will Venable stands to be a potentially pretty good one. So I hope that's exciting for a lot of White Sox fans. You're going to hear more from him in next week's show. Two, The options on Yoan Moncada and catcher Max Stassi were declined by the White Sox. They took buyouts. It is not surprising at all. But what's next for the White Sox? Well, Chris Getz and the front office are headed off to the GM meetings. That's November 5th through the 7th. I believe a lot of stage could be set for what's to come for the White Sox there. Of course, the big conversation from, like, now until when it happens, if it happens, is the potential trade of Garrett Crochet. It has been talked about a lot leading up to last year's trade deadline, and it's been talked about quite a bit here on this show and in a whole lot of other places throughout the offseason. And now with the World Series done, the Dodgers, the champions, you got two teams, the Dodgers and the Yankees, both in the at the top of their respective leagues, that could really use some pitching. So it's entirely possible you got big-time franchises looking to make big-time moves, and Garrett Crochet would definitely qualify as one of those. That's going to do it for us on this week's White Sox Weekly. Back to our usual time, 1 to 2, on next Saturday. Thanks for listening on ESPN 1000.